Welcome to the Sailor Noob Podcast, where a super fan and a noob talk about the original Sailor Moon episode by episode. I'm your host, Mikan Hana, joined by my co-host.
I'm the co-host and the noob, name of Caliban, and hashtag time's up.
Whoa. Yeah. I guess we'll get to that in a second.
Traveling through time.
Yes.
What do you think I meant?
Time's up for who? It sounds like a ticking clock on somebody's life.
Maybe it has a double meaning, and we'll get to that.
Yeah. We're a couple of magical people ready to moon crystal power make up this episode. Sailor Noob is brought to you by sometimes you find out that semi-annoying child who has the same hairstyle and name as you is really yours.
Same hairstyle.
Similar. I mean, I guess they're pointy. But...
I read that she made them pointy because they were pointy in the manga, and apparently the people who made the show go, don't make them pointy. She's like, okay. So she just made him round. But then she's like, when Chibiusa comes, these are things that gotta point to the sky.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that she did like that. You know, I think she might have wanted Usagi's hair to be pink originally. And they were like, no. And so then it was either that or like shockingly white or something.
Have a villain from the future with pink hair with pointy buns. And then also kind of make my heroine from the future have pink hair and kind of pointy buns too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
Take that.
Yep. Take
and
that.
They're like, you want to keep doing this job? I wonder what, like, we've talked before about how she had influence, but like, I wonder what her role was from a production standpoint, you know? I'm going to have to look this up because I know about TV production.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested to find out more about specifically how much power she had.
I don't think she had a whole lot.
It doesn't sound like it, does it?
No. It would be interesting to find out how much. I mean, some things that they did adapt pretty faithfully to the manga, but a lot of things they changed a lot around. I mean, I think I've talked about before her collection where she did like the looks of like all the main characters for each season, and like this is kind of like the colors they're supposed to use.
No.
I mean, honestly, they listened to most of the stuff, I think, but there were a couple things that they were like, no, and they definitely made some changes on some things that she was not happy with. 100%.
Now, with like Crystal, you know, like her name's on it, but she just hammers checks probably, right? She's not getting like creative input.
I don't know 100%. I think PGSM she had a lot of input with for sure.
Which is something that we've talked about.
It is.
On our Patreon feature.
Exactly.
Pretty Guardian Sailor Noobs.
Yes.
Where we watch episodes from Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon.
Yes.
The aughts live action show.
It's pretty great.
About a girl who's way more capable than her anime counterpart.
That's kind of true.
And the stuffed cat that yells at her.
Yeah, she's more courageous, I feel like, than at least Usagi was in the beginning. I think Usagi in the anime has become more courageous. But I don't know how much influence she's had over Crystal, but the Crystal is very... faithfully adapted from the manga, and so there's that, you know. So it's closer to what her vision was for
everyone is longer. No problem there.
Well, yeah.
Speaking of long, it's never good to wait too long to plan ahead for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to like weird anybody out, but we've got like I think 6 more to go in this series, in this storyline.
That's true.
So, you know, the end of this story is coming up pretty soon.
It is coming up.
And we will have to talk about what we can do right now. We talk about what our plans are for the future of that. I mean, obviously we want to do another episode where we take stock.
Yes.
Kind of look back
at this season.
The Black Moon Clan run, yeah.
And talk about that. And
yeah, get them in there too. The future's scary.
The future is scary.
I mean, literally scary. In this episode.
Yes.
But just thinking about the future.
Yeah.
Where can these girls go?
Yeah.
What can they get into? You know, the first thing they find out that they've got, you know, the power to basically rewrite reality. I mean, I guess they find out a little later after they've already done it.
Uh-huh.
And then they meet a as far as anybody knows, the first aliens, the first contact with alien beings and their giant tree from beyond the stars.
Yes.
And then they, you know, find out that there's a whole future world where all kinds of crazy things are happening. So,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Where can you go from here?
I think that is a problem that Nako Takauchi had to continue to wrestle with.
What if they just, you know, bring it down, bring it back to basics, you know, reduce the scale?
Yeah.
What if they just fight like one serial killer?
Whoa.
For an entire, it's just going out.
Wow.
And like, what kind of power is that? I think he's got blade hands or something like that.
Oh,
and the guy's like,
gosh,
he's got a butcher knife. Stab people.
Well, we kind of saw that with Jedi in a recent episode of PGSM. He just took up some blades.
Like, what is he going to have, like a crystal scepter? No, he's just got like two steak knives.
When like then I think the episode before he was like gathering energy and about to throw it at them. But nope, this time he just has knives.
Just going to stab some girls.
Yep.
That's fine.
Yep. That's
Can't
totally
tell him what
fine.
To do.
No, he does his own thing. So today we are talking about episode number 83, Shogeki no Mirai, Demando no Kuroki Yabo in Japanese, The Shocking Future, Demando's Dark Ambition, the English translation, and the English title, Legend of the Negamoon.
Yeah!
Yep.
Everything's nega this, nega that.
Yep.
That's my nega.
Oh, you made that joke.
We have to make sure that all the characters, the Sailor Stars, the Heart Ladies, the Ailanon, everybody's got a nega connection.
Yeah. And that's kind of what they
so
went
important.
With, at least with the first two seasons. Yeah, everything is, yep. And they were saying in the dub, the Ailanon were connected to Queen Beryl somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. Queen Beryl.
It's like, what?
Weird.
Yeah.
Incestuous cousins.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Well, I'm glad we know the truth.
And the truth is...
Gonna set us free?
Well, apparently, when you go to the future, you find the truth. As we find out in this
episode.
I always
know we're getting near the end of a season of Sailor Moon because there's just like episode after episode of people just describing things
exposition.
That we have not seen yet.
Yeah.
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 And exactly. We definitely get that in this episode. Although we do open where we left off last episode. Our hero standing on a cliff overlooking the destroyed Crystal
That's
Tokyo.
True. Yeah.
And everyone is aghast at the destruction. It's also very cold, apparently. Everything has snow on it and seems frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And Chibiusa is overcome with thoughts of her mom being in danger, and she runs off on her own. And the whole group runs after her. Like, what the hell? We just got here.
Yeah, right.
Wait, come back. In the frozen city, the sailors continue their search for Chibiusa, but they are confronted by a mysterious figure in a mauve tuxedo.
Uh-huh.
Are there two tuxedo masks?
Yeah.
Tuxedo's mask? This is this figure that we see in the opening sequence, which kind of slightly ruins things for us. But we knew it was some kind of thing. We didn't know what it was.
Yep.
It's Tuxedo Mauve. Tuxedo Mauve says, I'm surprised that you managed to get to Crystal Tokyo of the 30th century. And Usagi thinks, that voice. And she immediately flashes back to her dream of her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
People are popping bottles, cheering. And we see Mamoru and Usagi walking together in white. Would Usagi be a bridezilla?
Ooh, maybe.
I think she would be one of those that cries. She would cry all day.
Oh, yes, she would. Yeah. She would constantly cry. And like everybody
I'm just pointing it out. I'm not saying that that's bad.
No,
I'm glad
she
that she
would.
Feels strong emotions. But
and her friends would have to be there with tissues and to support her the entire time.
The bride would just swim down the aisle to the altar.
Yeah.
As they lean in to kiss, the world explodes. And the same voice says, when the two of you are bound together, the world will crumble and Princess Serenity will be struck with misfortune.
Mm-hmm.
Usagi thinks, that's the voice that made the prediction.
Yep.
And Mamoru immediately charges the figure, yelling, who are you? You have to charge somebody when you ask that. You can't just say, like, oh, who are you? You have to, like, run at them. As he reaches the figure, he swipes with his cane, but it passes right through him.
Uh-huh.
Like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Everyone is surprised, but the figure says, don't look so surprised. I am King Endymion. I am you in the future. Oh, Usagi asks the question that we're all thinking, wait a minute. Why did future Mamo make us dream of obstacles that would keep us apart? Yeah, great question, Usagi.
Fantastic question,
And why didn't
Usagi.
You recognize his voice? I guess Mamo has been smoking, two packs a day since...
Why didn't Mamo recognize his own
his
voice?
His own voice.
Because
you never
sound
really
different?
Hear yourself.
Okay.
Well, Mercury ruins our chance to find the answer because she tells Usagi, wait, he's not really there. Thanks. That's our scientific expert.
We just saw that.
And then Deviant says, yes, I am not really here. My body is somewhere else. He does, however, say, the time has come. Time's up. The time has come for me to tell you everything. Come this way. But Usagi says, hey, we're still looking for JB Usa. But he says, don't worry about her. I'm sheltering her. When you go on vacation, consider sheltering your JB Usa.
No!
Give your sister a rest. You don't have to come feed him every day. Feed JB Usa multicolored dog food.
Oh my goodness.
The girls follow him, and as they do, we see that Demando and company are watching their progress on their hologram projector.
Mm-hmm.
Demando thinks she looks like her, the omnipotent goddess who governs Crystal Tokyo, Neo Queen Serenity, whom I wanted the moment I laid eyes on her.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. He's using the correct pronoun for his predatory thoughts. It is whom. That's correct. He's apparently thinking these thoughts. He's a very grammatically correct creeper.
Oh.
He's apparently thinking these thoughts long enough that both Esme and Saphir look at him like, uh-oh.
Yep.
It's the same look I'm guessing the people who work for Matt Lauer must have had.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh, gotta polish off the button.
Oh, no.
Esme seems really pissed at the idea that Demando is into Sailor Moon, but Saphir tells her, the Sailor Soldiers are in Crystal Tokyo. Your blame in this matter is great.
He has a really eloquent way of speaking.
Yes, I cannot express my disappointment. She says, I'll go kill them right away. But Demando says, hold up a minute.
Yeah.
I'll go. You two go find the rabbit. And he probably, little
banaka
breath in the mouth there.
Do people
still
leaves. Do that?
This guy would do that. Esme throws her fan in rage at the hologram of Sailor Moon and says, I can't forgive anyone who captures Demando's heart.
Yes.
Well, you don't have to worry about that because that's not what this is about.
No.
King Endymion has led the soldiers to an abandoned building, telling them it is the remnants of his old base. Mm-hmm. This used to be a lot cooler. He says, all right, listen to this. And with a wave of his hand, the walls of the temple begin to show images of space.
Mm-hmm.
He says, a great calamity befell the earth, that you know, and earth settled into a cold sleep for a long, long time. Eventually, in the 30th century, the power of the silver crystal and Neo Queen Serenity returned earth to life. And we see all this happen, you know, in the holodeck or whatever, the planetarium.
Right.
Presumably the girls see this on the walls. It's like Epcot.
Yeah.
Endymion continues, with Serenity as their queen, Earth prospered with Crystal Tokyo as its capital, but evil beings appeared who wanted to conquer the world. We defeated those beings, and those who did not want to be cleansed by the crystal journeyed out into space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, get your brain rewritten, or like, I might have taken off into space.
I think most of us
We have to fix you. Wait.
Yeah, right.
Here's a crystal. Crystal Tokyo continued to prosper, but planet Nemesis, the 10th planet, a phantom dark planet, became their home. The planet was discharging a large amount of negative energy, transforming the beings there and giving them supernatural powers. Mm-hmm. And we see a shot of Nemesis, and it's like, it's a planet, but it's like green and asymmetrical. This is the green goo world.
Yes.
These beings formed the Black Moon Clan. Nemesis attacked Crystal Tokyo and killed many people. And here we see the scenes of the invasion that we saw previously with the UFOs.
Yes.
Crystal Palace was protected by the four guardian deities of the city, but everything else was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut to that scene that we've seen before, and we explicitly see the future sailors Mars, Venus, Mercury, and Jupiter protecting the palace and shielding it.
Yes.
Endymion says, due to the dark power, many of the city's inhabitants are now asleep, and the city faces destruction. I've been gravely injured and I can't move. We can only be saved by the Phantom Silver Crystal, but only Neo Queen Serenity can use it, and she's in a deep sleep and can't be woken.
Mm-hmm.
And Usagi is like, Neo Queen Serenity, is she? And Endymion's like, yes, Dum Dum, she's you in the future.
I know.
And Usagi's like, what?
I know.
Commercial. When we come back, Usagi is looking at an image of Neo Queen Serenity. Herself in the future.
Yes.
And she thinks, still no boobs. No.
Oh, wow.
Serenity is still in the crystal-covered bed that we saw when we saw inside Chibi's mind in that episode.
Yes.
Mercury asks what the deal is with that. And the king says that when the enemy attacked, the four sailors used their powers to wrap the queen in crystal to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's neat.
Yeah.
Since then, the queen has slept. And small lady, he pauses. The image of the queen disappears, and from the ground rises a bed with Chibi sleeping on it.
It's so dramatic.
Yes. Usagi throws her arms around Chibi, and King says, Sailor Moon, tuxedo mask, she is your daughter. And Usagi's like, what?
Yes.
All the girls are taking this in. But Mars is like, what year, month, and date does this happen?
Yeah, I know. That's such a great reaction.
And Usagi and Mamoru are like, it hasn't happened yet. King says, please forgive my daughter's many breaches of decorum, like the time she pulled a gun on you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I used to tell her the story of Sailor Moon, which is why she came up with the idea of going to the past to get her help. Mm-hmm. The Black Moon Clan wants to take the Phantom Silver Crystal and rule the world, but they can't get into our palace, so they want to destroy the past, and you must defend it at all costs. Tuxedo Mask and Sailor Moon, I did show you those nightmares, but I did it to test you. Your love must be strong to win this war. Please protect Small Lady, because I cannot. And he disappears.
I'm like, we'll get into it, but like, I still don't agree with what he did.
It was a plan. It was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
He also chooses to disappear. And it's at a weird time, because like just as he does, a dark whirlwind blows about the chamber, and Prince Demando appears. Sailor Moon says, who are you? But Demando thinks, those are the eyes that gazed upon me that one time.
Yep, exactly.
She was totally into me. Speaking of eyes, the moon on Demando's forehead opens to reveal a third eye?
Which flashes
as he says, you will come with me. And he puts the whammy on Sailor Moon and everybody in the chamber. The rest of the Sailor Soldiers are helpless as Sailor Moon floats up to Demando with Chibi in her arms. Tuxedo Mask manages to throw his cane at Demando.
Uh-huh.
And as he blocks it, Chibi falls from Usagi's arms, but Tuxedo Mask catches her before she hits the floor.
Yes.
Demando once again hits everybody with his Ibimu.
Oh, no!
And grabs Sailor Moon, saying, I wanted two birds with one stone, but as long as I have you, I'm satisfied.
Yep.
And the two of them disappear.
Yep.
Tuxedo Mask is like, Usako! Here, take my daughter.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But King chooses this moment to reappear and says,
convenient.
Hold up a minute.
Yeah.
I have an idea of where they're going to be.
Uh-huh.
We go to that place.
Yes.
Where Usagi is just waking up. All this is kind of rushed because we had to talk a lot before.
Yep.
So we got to rush through this part.
Mm-hmm.
She's on a bed. Uh-oh. Uh-huh. And she's dressed in one of Queen Serenity's gowns, wings and all.
Uh-huh.
She finds her brooch next to her and she grips it, saying she feels very weak.
Uh-huh.
She looks up to see Demando entering the bedchamber, and he says, even after my attack, with you bathed in the evil Black Crystal's power, you woke up so quickly. I'm impressed. I'll use more knockout drops next time.
Yeah, I don't like the connotation.
And also, presumably, he's disappointed that she's awake, because he's a handsy creep. Usagi says, who are you? And he says, I'm Prince Demando. Welcome to my clan's forward base, Sailor Moon. No. Neo Queen Serenity.
Hmm.
Let's have a long talk.
Uh-huh.
And he uses his power to pull her towards him.
Yes.
Usagi holds up her brooch and calls, Moon Prism Power Makeup! But nothing happens. Demando says, the Phantom Silver Crystal is nothing before the evil Black Crystal's power. This room is filled with its power, and it absorbs the Phantom Crystal's power.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to reach out and touch her, but she knocks his hand away fiercely. He says, those are the eyes of Neo Queen Serenity. This chick hates me. This is great.
Yeah, wow.
He uses his power again, restraining Sailor Moon, and he grabs her by the chin. He says, use this room as you like. It will be your eternal resting place.
Yeah, I don't
Struggling, like that. Usagi says, why are you attacking our planet? Demando says, with the evil Black Crystal, I can control any time, place, or dimension. We cut to outside the palace. Guess what we see? You'll never guess in a million years. We see Tuxedo Mask riding a hang glider through the night sky.
It's a purple hang glider. Yes.
Inside, Demando says, it's only natural that the one with the most power rules the world. And Usagi says, that way of thinking is wrong. Demando laughs and says, I wanted to make you mine no matter what. And his third eye opens again to paralyze Usagi. Mm. We see Tuxedo Mask running into the palace yelling, Usako! And we cut back to Usagi, wondering if she really hurt him or not.
Mm-hmm.
Usagi thinks, I can't transform. I really am all alone, as Demando draws her nearer. Thankfully, a red rose cuts the air between Demando and Usagi, sending her falling back onto the bed. Standing atop the ruined dome of the chamber is Tuxedo Mask. He says, trying to force a woman to become yours by using your evil powers, you underhanded devil, I cannot forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Demando says, don't be so conceited. Then he blasts that tuxedo mask with his third eye. As he does this, though, a dark whirlwind rises in the room and knocks him off balance.
Yeah.
Tuxedo Mask extends his cane down to Usagi and pulls her up to safety, and they run out, leaving Demando fighting the dark wind. As Tuxedo Mask and Usagi hang glide away, brah, we see Esmeralda watching them go. Saphir appears and says, I know you didn't get in our master's way. And Esme says, me? Why would I do that?
Uh-huh.
And Saphir says, women are frightening, unpredictable creatures when they're mad with jealousy. Yeah, women are the problem here. Sure. He says, aren't you happy that Sailor Moon got away? And she laughs at this and says, hey, I'm a woman, and I pledge my loyalty to Prince Demando. Why would I be happy about that?
Yeah.
And Saphir doesn't get it.
Nope.
Because he says, I feel the same way. I hate Sailor Moon.
I know.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Elsewhere, Tuxedo Mask and Sailor Moon have landed, and they're holding each other. Mamoru says, King said that our time to be severely tested is still coming. But Usagi says, no matter what happens, we will. She doesn't finish that thought, but they both know the answer. And they kiss as a cold wind buffets them.
Yes.
So, stuff happening.
Yeah.
And also, can't wait to for the Subu or Dubu. Can't wait to see how Deke dealt with a lot of the creepy vibes of this episode.
Yeah, well.
Oh, looks like they didn't deal with it at all.
Well,
but we'll get there.
A little bit.
Should we talk about the 10th planet?
Yeah.
Or the 9th planet?
Don't. Sorry. When this came out,
sorry, Pluto.
Pluto was still a planet.
Yes. Well, the idea of a 10th planet has long been theorized. In fact, okay. Percival Lowell, the guy that found Pluto, I'm going to say, well, why would it be after? It's either before or after he found Pluto. He theorized that there was a 10th planet as well.
Sure.
And because of the eccentric orbit of Pluto, a lot of people think that, you know, first of all, it's what they call an extrasolar capture. It probably wasn't formed, you know, with the rest of the solar system. It was grabbed coming through at some point. But also that and the shape and distribution of the Oort cloud, which is this cloud of comets and dust and particles that's outside of our solar system, people theorize that there is probably a large planet or possibly even another star, but a brown dwarf, a non-luminous star.
Okay.
And so Nemesis, this has basically been, we've got enough data now that we know this is probably not it. But for a long time, there was a hypothesis that there was a second star, a binary pair that with our sun, a brown dwarf called Nemesis. Was a source of the comets and things, like gravitational anomalies would like knock things out of the Oort cloud and send them going around our sun.
Okay.
But we've had enough data now to know that that's probably not true.
That's not true. Interesting.
And there's long been, you know, theories about like a 10th planet. Tyche is the name of a proposed 10th planet that would be probably a gas giant out beyond the orbit of Pluto.
Okay.
We have, since Pluto was demoted, found many extrasolar bodies,
yes,
like Kuar and Sedna, bodies that could, you know, compared to Pluto, qualify for planet status, but nothing so big as the gas giants, or even really as big as, you know, Earth or Mars or Mercury.
Yeah, right.
So that's why we have this idea of a planetoid.
Right.
Which is...
right, because Pluto is too small.
What Pluto fits into, yeah.
Right.
And I thought it's also interesting that we're talking about the moon, you know, the current prevailing theory of the moon's formation was due to a impact from another body on Earth early in its history.
Really?
Probably about like 4 or 5 billion years ago, it's theorized that a theoretical body of another planet in our solar system named Theia hit the Earth and was demolished.
Okay.
And then the junk that came off of the Earth, when the Earth was still somewhat molten, eventually formed into the moon.
Interesting.
And this is a pretty good theory at this point because, you know, we got a lot of rocks from the moon. Like, we know what the moon's made out of, and it's very similar to what the Earth is made of, which would seem to suggest that, you know, they were part of the same body at one point.
Interesting. Huh.
Which means that they're bound together forever, like lovers.
The Earth and the moon. Yeah, like as...
The masculine Earth and the feminine moon.
Yes. Yep, you got it. You got it. I mean, it's in a lot of mythology type stuff too. You see stuff like that.
And the rabbit.
Yeah, and the rabbit.
Making the rice cakes.
Yep.
In the moon.
Yep. Pounding the mochi, you know, as you do. I wonder what other cultures see when they look up at the moon. I haven't really studied that, but it's interesting, you know. It's always a man in the moon, too, not a woman.
Yeah, but then, you know, many moon goddesses are goddesses.
That's true.
There's not a lot of moon gods, at least not in the Western tradition.
No, that's true. The moon is largely seen as feminine, I think.
You got Diana and Selene.
Artemis.
Ishtar. Artemis, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Artie. You're named after a girl. They do talk about it in the code name Sailor V. It is mentioned once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She like, why do you have a girl's name?
It's brought up. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it is acknowledged.
But yeah, but you can shorten it to Artie. Here's a question. Did I miss something? So maybe it's because I've been watching a lot of PGSM, but why is it the Phantom Silver Crystal now?
It might be the translation that we're... Oh. I don't know.
But we haven't changed since...
No.
It hasn't been previously.
No. I honestly...
The legendary Silver Crystal.
Can I be real with you? I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, okay. I have a feeling that our audience does. I bet they're going to let us know.
Probably.
Just do it nicely.
And they'll be mad at us. I feel like it gets called, like, the Phantom Silver Crystal, or, like, at first I was like... Oh, is that what it's called in the future? No, I don't think that's what it is.
See, it's weird because our anime has the good translation, but apparently our PGSM has the bad translation. Mm-hmm. But they've been calling it the Phantom Silver Crystal since the beginning.
Right.
And only now has the anime started calling it the Phantom Silver Crystal.
Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure. I will say that I've noticed with PGSM that they kind of take and pull things from various seasons and arcs in the manga and put it in kind of, it seems like, where they want to. Or maybe I'm just thinking, like, her outfit is more like the manga outfit than it is in the anime at the beginning, because she's got the hair clips and stuff like that.
Sure. So. Are we ever going to see Rei go to the TA Academy in PGSM?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
I want the episode where she puts on the talent show. That was a good one.
The talent show.
I gave that one a 5, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. So
This is just a comic thing, but you know, you've got a guy who is wearing a cape. And a fancy outfit, and he is somewhere else, but he's projecting his spirit out, and that's something that Doctor Strange does all the time. His astral form.
Interesting. So King Endymion is Doctor Strange. So
well, I mean, in this case, he's
Often,
you know, Doctor Strange will do that. Why go somewhere when you can just project. Go there as a ghost?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I like his style. I like to see that Mamo still is stylish in the future. So you called it mauve. I think it's like lavender or whatever.
It is.
But
mauve starts with M, and so
joke. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm like half surprised that it's not like a pink suit, because he loved that pink Oxford shirt so much.
That. Yeah, I think maybe Usagi talked him out of that.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, okay, I got to have this look. It's got to be iconic. I'm thinking pink. And she's like, no.
Let's keep thinking. Let's keep thinking.
I mean, and purple is a royal color. So there you go.
That's true. As much as this is purple, purple is a royal color.
Yeah.
I have a question. So.
Yes.
I don't, first of all, remember how I said that we can reform some of these guys? The Black Moon Clan?
Yes.
Screw Demando.
Yep.
I want to watch him blow up at the end of this thing.
Yeah.
But I don't really like, I know that it doesn't, you know, it's all magic powers and stuff, but I don't like what they, you know, represent here. Like, I like the idea. Yeah, we've talked about how it's like makeup or jewelry or whatever, but like, I like the idea that the power of the moon or the crystal or whatever, it's a feminine power. You know what I mean? It is feminine strength.
Yeah.
And so I don't like the fact that, you know, the evil black crystal is just like, oh, but that's better than your thing. So you don't have any power and you're just powerless. So I hope a man comes and saves you. I didn't really like that.
No, I don't really like that either. I think we will No, it's not over yet.
I know. I know it's not over.
But I think we had to
But if this is, if we've got to go to the bottom before we can go to the top, we're reaching the bottom.
Stay
away from that bottom.
Yeah. So I am not a huge Demando fan. There are some fans who ship him and Usagi together. I've seen a lot of fan art. Just saying.
No thanks.
Yep. That's kind of how I feel about it too. I don't like the connotations that he, first of all, he kidnaps her. He brainwashes her, makes it so she basically roofies her so she can't move and she passes out. And then she wakes up on a bed and she's in different clothes.
All right. He's got.
So he's like dressed her or something.
He's got little demon droid servants that dress her.
Oh, you're trying to make it better somehow. Okay.
That's all I can do.
I mean, and then he.
Speaking of the outfit.
Yeah.
So he took her away as Sailor Moon.
Yes.
Then she wakes up in a different outfit. Is she not Sailor Moon if she's in another outfit? What if, bad example, what if Sailor Moon was fighting the aliens from Alien? Mm-hmm. And she Moon Tiara Boomeranged one and it cut it and its acid blood got on her Sailor Moon outfit. So she had to take her Sailor Moon outfit off. Mm-hmm. But she happened to be fighting near a Hot Topic, so she was able to throw on like a Sailor Moon t-shirt and some drawstring shorts. Would she still be Sailor Moon, or is the power in the costume? Do you know what I mean? Because I would just assume that without her like saying, because we never watched them transform back, right? But without her going like, I'm done being, take the makeup off or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Just because she gets knocked out doesn't mean she's not Sailor Moon anymore. We see that at point D because she gets the crap kicked out of her by Beryl and she's in and out, but she's always Sailor Moon. But now she's not Sailor Moon and she's in a different outfit. Is it because she became Usagi again once she was in the room with the evil powers that drained her power or whatever? Look, this is a comic fan's musings. I know the show doesn't care about this at all.
Okay, I think she has to be. The costume kind of comes from the brooch.
Right.
In a way.
But like, can she go to the bathroom when she's Sailor Moon? Can she literally not take the costume off? Is it locked onto her while she's...
I don't know the answer to that. Has the power of Sailor Moon.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Like if you ripped a sleeve off the costume, would it just grow back? Because it's like, no, she has to have the costume. She's Sailor Moon right now. She can take the tiara off because she throws it. We know that.
Yeah, her costume gets ripped and she's still Sailor Moon. But like,
can she take
Sailor
a dump
Moon?
When she's Sailor Moon? Yeah, that does it. It gets ripped.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would think so because she's still mostly... I think the brooch has to be on her.
But every time she transforms, she holds it up and goes, Moon Prison Power.
Yeah, and then it locks onto her.
Well, she holds it up to her chest. Yeah,
right. So.
That's all I'm saying. Like, I think the show can get out of it because they're like, well, when he brought her to this draining area, then she lost the power of Sailor Moon. And so,
well, she can't transform because dress the crystal
her, droids.
Yeah, right.
That I'm hoping are in the episode.
Right.
Anything else? Because I got one big thing to say.
I would like to talk about Endymion.
Did you want to talk about how I was right? I was right the whole time. I'm never playing poker with you. I'll tell you that much.
Why?
I was right the whole time. Uh-huh. I had some of the details wrong. I didn't. Oh man, I didn't rely on cryonics. Uh-huh. I didn't know they'd be frozen for 1,000 years. Uh-huh. But I was totally right.
Uh-huh. Oh my goodness! This is the most angry sticker.
I'm gonna tear this sticker out of here.
Oh my god! What did you get?
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, somebody you haven't met yet.
Yeah. It's a sailor with a mirror.
I mean, I can tell you who
it is. Venus have a mirror?
Why?
Because Venus's symbol is a mirror because she's a goddess of being conceited.
Whoa!
Not our Venus.
No.
Mythologically,
yes.
Venus.
Well, that's true. No. Do you want to know who it is?
I know that it's either Neptune or Uranus. I'm just not sure which one.
It's Neptune.
Okay.
So, yes, Neptune has a mirror, and she's got beautiful, wavy aqua hair. I've always loved her hair.
Shouldn't she have a trident?
I think there, I mean, there is the symbol, I think, of Neptune on the mirror.
The sticker got a little bent.
So, oh no.
That's okay.
Because you were so furious taking it out of the bin.
I didn't do it.
Okay. It was pre-bent.
All right. Let's not spend all day on the sticker.
Okay. All right. No, I wanted to talk about...
Is she
going to
throw something? Poker chips or something?
What?
Does she throw something? She's got something in her hand. Oh, you don't have to tell me.
Okay, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I'll wait and see.
You'll meet her next season. Ooh, so, yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. I told you that before.
Okay. Come on. Let's get to it.
I guess I do have some spoilers. Anyways, I don't like that he sends them these nightmares and that Mamo takes them so seriously and he looks like he's in pain. And, like, that he has so little faith in both of them, but also in his younger self. He's like, oh, I got to test them because they're not ready for whatever is happening.
Ah, but you forget, when he was young, did he have these dreams? And so he knows he must send them because they already happened.
Let me put it to you this way. It's not in the manga and I hate it. Okay. So
it is a little weird. It reminds me of the Moonlight Knight where it's like, why did he have to be somebody else for 15 episodes?
Because we have to stretch it out.
Because we have to stretch it out. And they
can't be together.
They've forgotten who they are, but he's not it anymore. But they can't be together. And so, yeah, it just seems like another.
They can't be together.
They came up with a runner that is not really tied to, like, importantly to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hate it. I mean, it gave us, you know, I think that. So remember, at the beginning of this, this season was about Usagi deciding specifically that it's time to stop messing around.
Yes.
She's going to get stronger.
Yes.
She's doing it partially for selfish reasons because he wants her boyfriend back. But what's the net effect? The net effect is she's going to be stronger and more responsible, right?
Yep.
And I think that she would have done that no matter what. In fact, she did because he was having the dreams more intensely first, you know, she was just responding to wanting him back.
Yeah.
So I think that they would have got to where they were without the dreams just fine, I think.
Yeah.
Especially because the dreams had no real payoff because there's the episode where they get back together and then it isn't like now they're going to spend every wonderful loving day together. We just kind of got rid of that. He won't say something mean when he leaves.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. The entire runner was kind of a failure, in terms of its impact.
Yeah, that's true.
But I didn't have any real problem with that.
Okay,
that's sort of like him in the future with more knowledge, you know, and older. That's like the ultimate kind of mean thing that he says to her. He's literally sending these bad dreams back to curse her.
I don't like the connotation, you know?
Yeah.
And like, there are some fans who do not like Mamoru and Usagi together, at least in the 90s anime in particular, because they think that he's too mean to her in a lot of ways.
Okay. So Demando?
I'm not saying they're the same fans, but but there are some people who do not like that pairing because they think that he's too mean to her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do like in the beginning when they're both kind of rude to each other, unlike what we see in PGSM. But
I was right though.
You were totally right. Yeah.
I mean, it's not, they literally look like them. It's not that tough.
Yeah, I know. Like, I mean, I think in like the first episode, they lampshade in the first meeting. Like, why is your hair like mine, and why do you have my name?
What, for Chibi?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, you know, okay, she's their kid. But, like, if they're not... So, like I said, I never knew it was the 30th century.
No.
And it didn't really matter to my theory. And ultimately, it didn't really matter to what actually happened. Because apparently nothing happened for 1,000 years. This is what we need to talk about. What do I think is going to happen?
Yes.
I think they're going to prevent this from happening. I think they're going to stop this from ever happening. It'll be a paradox, but you can't tell me that in like 5 years' time, the entire Earth will have a gigantic ice age and everybody on it will be frozen for 1,000 years
mm-hmm.
until Neo, Queen Serenity, wakes up and saves everybody, right?
Right.
We got to stop that from happening. Mm-hmm. We got to stop that cataclysm. Now, if we do that, do we still get married, have Chibi, And like, did they have her before or after they were frozen? You know, we don't know any of that.
Right.
But that's all for the future. That doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, paradox doesn't matter because it never does in stories. So somehow they could come back in time to stop something that happens, even though if they did, it wouldn't happen. We're not going to worry about that.
Right.
So
right.
I think the next few episodes will, or the end of this will be them trying to stop this disaster from happening.
Okay.
Because I don't think that the show would let that happen to Earth. Plus, there's three more seasons, or one, two, three. Yeah, three, yeah, more, three seasons more seasons of Sailor Moon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, good
unless
point.
The next seasons take place in, like, the Ice Age or something like that. Not
it's
so great.
All ice.
Yeah.
All ice skating all the time. Mako, you'll love it.
Yeah. Well, she'll be set, but yeah, right. Everybody else might be in trouble.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, that's what I think is going to have to happen.
Okay. All right. We'll see if you're right, and maybe you'll get another sticker.
But I was right, though.
You were right.
How would you describe Just Enough Trope?
We are the Just Enough Trope podcast. I'm your host, Caliban, joined as always by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Mikan Hanna.
Oh no, does this mean they can hear all the things I yell at the TV during Downton Abbey?
Why did you do that?
How do you plead?
Let the game begin.
Yeah, check these fresh moves.
Oh!
Don't shoot man in face.
This isn't the Save Gotham fundraiser.
It's the Chill Family Reunion.
Master Yoda assigned a Padawan to this bold Jedi.
I think it's pronounced Padawan.
Oh, Padawan, excuse me.
Hey, it's getting late. I think Ralph's going to want his motorcycle back.
Come check out the pictures of Jean Grey.
I am freaking getting old.
Yeah, I noticed the life clock was blinking in your hand.
Get out of here, Wilson. Go fight the Teen Titans or something.
I'm unkillable, not unwoundable.
You like Sailor Moon, right? Why don't you sail on his
Wow.
Just Enough Trope. News, reviews, and geek fondue. Every Monday on the Just Enough Trope Podcast Network.
Loving me never have a say usury sorry.
What? For Kyoro Kyoro Mirror, or Curiously Looking Around, where you talk about elements of Japanese culture within the episode, this week I thought we would talk about parenting in Japan.
Okay.
Especially since we found out that Usagi and Mamo are future parents of Chibiusa.
I know you can send your kid out to get some Pocari Sweat. No
yeah,
problem.
Right. Exactly.
Just run down the street.
Yeah, right.
I'm four.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yep. So parenting Japan is viewed as having kind of a different approach than in the West, and we're going to look at some of the key differences. So Japanese mothers are also known for proactively predicting the needs of their child and making the prevention of fuss a high priority. For the first 2 years of a baby's life, Japanese mothers are almost always with their children. One survey found that Japanese mothers, on average, spend only 2 hours a week away from their baby, in contrast to American mothers who spend an average of 24 hours a week away.
Huh.
So, pretty big difference there. Something else that I watched a video about it. Like, basically, you are kind of, as a mother in Japan, you're basically kind of, you have to give up everything and just, like, commit yourself to this child. And
for how long?
Well, at least for the first 2 years of their life.
Sure.
Along those lines, babysitters and date nights out with your spouse aren't common in Japan when you have very young children, and generally speaking are kind of looked down upon. If you are to be seen as a respected and good mother in Japan, you are expected to give your baby your full attention. New mothers are often expected to leave their jobs and become a mom full time. This is something that is slowly changing in Japan as more and more women are choosing to go back to work. And babysitters are becoming more commonplace as well, largely because there is more of a need for them. But maternity leave does exist in Japan. Mothers are given 6 weeks prior to their due date of their child and 8 weeks after the birth.
Okay.
And in 2020, about 81.6% of women in Japan took maternity leave, and this is a decrease of about 6% since 2011.
Now they have, I mean, not in every case, but their family structure is a little different, right? Because it's more extended family. So maybe you don't need a babysitter because, Obasan can hang out and take care of it.
If they live nearby.
Yeah, right. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, maybe this has changed in the 21st century, but, like, you know, their families tend to live more together, right?
A lot of the time, one of my host families, their grandparents lived, they shared, like, it was like a duplex, is it? Like the first floor was one home and the second floor was another home. And on the first floor, that's where their grandparents lived.
Uh-huh.
And they lived on the first floor and they had an intercom. They could call down to each other through the intercom.
Yeah, that's
So
pretty connected.
Yeah. So there was that, but not everybody has that.
Sure.
And I think it depends on the family too. And I think it's kind of changing, but I think at the first couple years, that's maybe also not, they don't want you to you're not supposed to lean on your parents as much for looking after the kid. You're supposed to be there.
Well, yeah, so, sure.
Yeah. But, you know, but parents can opt to take a full year for paternity leave, but few fathers take advantage of it. As of 2020, only about 6% of eligible fathers go on leave for that long.
Wow.
And few fathers take advantage of this leave as culturally they are concerned that it will affect possible promotions and advancements in their career. And I was reading an article. There's actually been a couple of people who have put forth lawsuits. There's one guy said that he was basically demoted each time he took leave for one of his kids and kind of put in a position where he wasn't really doing much work.
Yeah.
Which is not what you want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, okay. Well, at least he did it. Did he succeed at the lawsuits?
I don't know the answer to that. That's a really good question.
That's kind of the answer that we need
here. Yeah, I guess
it's good that people are challenging it, but are the challenges successful?
Yeah. That might have been in process still. Mm-hmm. After parental leave is over, it is challenging to find childcare, which is a big factor in many women not returning to work in Japan after they have a child. There's just an overall lack of childcare options. And then there are I think we've talked about this before, but there are long waiting lists for those that are available. With Japan being a culture of overwork, it is not really set up to support parents who want to spend time with their family, which is another really big problem.
Yeah.
Women often find that they do have to literally choose between having a career and spending time with their families.
Hmm.
So I think there are a lot of women who would like to go back to work, but they can't commit to over 8 hours, you know, they just can't.
Yeah.
As of 2018, about 53% of women returned to work after giving birth to their first child. In Japan, mothers tend to see their babies as starting off being unattached from the family, needing to be taught to have dependence on their mother. Compared to in the West, babies tend to be viewed as starting off completely dependent on their parents and needing to be taught to be independent as they grow older.
Yeah.
So part of cultivating the sense of dependency on mom that many Japanese mothers strive for is attachment parenting. In other words, your baby is typically physically attached to you by some sort of sling or baby carrier, whether you are at home or out and about, especially young children for a really long time. So not really putting the baby down. And in many ways, this is how affection is expressed, through physical closeness and through constantly touching.
Yeah.
Parents hugging and kissing their children is not really the norm in Japanese culture.
Awesome.
In most homes, the family sleeps together in one room, traditionally in a tatami room with several futons kind of squished together.
Yeah.
And with the dad on one side of the futon, mom on the opposite, and the child in the middle, a positioning that resembles the kanji character for river, which is like, this is seriously, this is how it's talked about in Japan. Like you've got mom on one side, dad on one side, child in the middle, and it's like the kanji for river. So which is like three lines, except like one of them has like a little curve to it. But it's not unusual for this sleeping arrangement to continue well into elementary school. And if you have more than one kid, all the kids sleep in the middle. Even though attachment parenting is a big part of raising a child in Japan, so is cultivating independence, which is kind of interesting because it seems like the opposite.
Right.
Young children as young as 5 or 6 are expected to travel to and from school on their own, even if that means taking a public bus or a train. I didn't really run into this a whole lot, but I think that's just because where I was located. But you do see this a lot in media and in real life in Japan. And Japan's really low crime rate means it's safe, and the general feeling among parents is that they trust the community to help look out for their kids. It should also be mentioned that children in Japan are not just disciplined by their parents, but also through groups like
their strangers,
right?
On
right.
The train.
Yes. Yeah. Their class and school clubs, and by their community at large, for better or for worse.
Wow. None of that. Don't tell my kid what to do.
Right. Right.
You keep setting those things on fire, Johnny. Don't let them right. stop you.
No, I don't think there's much of that.
No. It takes a province to raise a child.
Right. Yes, exactly. There's actually a Japanese TV show called Hajimete no Atsukai, which translates to My First Errand, where young children go on errands for their parents for the first time. And it's filmed, and there's a panel of Japanese TV personalities reacting to it. It's really cute, and people who work in the stores really do their best to help the kids out. And having kids run errands and do tasks at a young age also teaches them self-reliance. And I think that's the main reason why they do it. A very important value that Japanese children are taught very young is to always think of other people and adjust your behavior and reactions accordingly to help keep the peace and the harmony. Japanese children are taught empathy, but also self-regulation of their own emotions at a very young age. When you are taught to always think of others, you rarely get to do what you want to do mm-hmm. as a kid.
Yeah.
Others would also argue that one's own self-expression is not necessarily encouraged, right. at least not how it is generally in the West.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are pluses and minuses, right? And this is something that Usagi could probably use more of. Self-discipline, or shitsuke in Japanese, is another important value that Japanese parents teach their children. Many Japanese parents prefer to teach their kids shitsuke by doing daily tasks or chores together, like cooking. Children tend to learn how to behave in different circumstances by following how their parents act, like basically like, this is how to act. I'm going to show you how to act as the adult in this situation.
Yeah.
As opposed to criticism or corrections. Schools also encourage shitsuke by having students clean their classrooms. And sometimes they start teaching really, really, really young kids how to clean the classroom. And I don't know how well they're actually... clean the classroom.
Everything is clean up to like 4 feet.
Right, that too.
Yeah, they right. can't reach anything else.
Exactly. But it just kind of encourages them to, you know, learn to care for their space and be mindful and that sort of thing.
Sure.
Among developed countries, single parents, which are typically mothers in Japan, Japan is unfortunately one of the worst.
Legally, there is no such thing as joint custody in Japan, and mothers are typically the ones who are financially responsible for raising their children. That's because they're usually the ones who are awarded custody.
Huh.
While you can get alimony, it is a really long and arduous process. Usually you have to sue to get it.
Wow.
And in 2011, only about 20% of divorced moms were receiving it. Due to the increase in the divorce rate in Japan, the number of single mothers is also increasing. Between 1983 and 2011, the number of households that include a single mother rose by 72%.
Wow.
Yeah. And according to a government survey in 2011, the number of single parent families in Japan was 1.2 million.
Huh.
So an article that I read basically was saying... between those years, like, women are like, you know what? I'm not going to stay in this marriage because I'm not going to put up with this guy who's cheating on me or treating me badly or abusing me, et cetera, et cetera. So I think women were kind of learning slowly in Japan to not just this. There is such a thing as keeping a peace and harmony, but this is hurting me. So that's not really doing that.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we see such an increase. Today, Japan has the highest number of single mothers in the labor force of any country in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, with 85%. That being said, even though they're working, that doesn't mean that they're getting paid well or they're in, high qualifying jobs. Like,
sure.
Usually they're in, like, these part-time jobs that are very labor intensive, low paying as well, because they also need to raise their kids, and it is challenging for them to find well paying full time positions, especially those with similar seniority to when they left the workforce. And that's another reason, because they had to, a lot of them left the workforce for many years to raise their kids. And then they'd try to go back.
You've done have the experience.
Yeah, exactly. And they also just get treated differently. Even, though they do have the, experience up to a certain point, it's like they can't even get in at the same level they were at.
Yeah.
So the poverty rate, unfortunately, of single parent families in Japan, where the parent is working, is 56%, which is also the highest in the OECD. Single motherhood is especially hard in Japan because it is a country that has continued to enforce the traditional norm of a father working and a mother raising the children.
Yeah.
Japanese companies frequently encourage this arrangement by giving husbands whose wives stay home a bonus. And the Japanese tax system has a tax deduction limit as of 2018, if you make no more than 1.5 million yen, you could be filed as a dependent and your spouse would receive a large tax deduction.
Huh.
So basically it's encouraging the arrangement of the wife basically taking care of the kids, but also only working up to a certain amount of hours.
Right.
And yet Japan is having this this work worker shortage, and it's like, well, you have alienated a large part of your potential workforce, and single mothers are working a lot but not in jobs where they can get paid a lot or actually work long hours. Japanese institutions also expect applicants to list their family members on their job resumes. If a woman lists a child but no spouse, she will get asked if she is a single mother, and if so, who will take care of her child if they get sick?
Yeah.
Which just makes me so angry. So there's a lot of things that basically need to change to improve that situation and to make it better for not just for single mothers, definitely for single mothers in Japan, but also for women in Japan to return to work if they so choose. I think in Japan in general is not really set up with parents in mind, like in young children, necessarily in mind. Like, you have to take time to raise them. you know, and if you want them to become productive parts of society.
And expecting the man to be a part of it as well.
Yeah.
And
right.
You know, making his responsibility a little more legally
right.
Sound would probably be really good too.
Yeah, like it sounds like a lot of times the dad is just like, well, we're divorced now. See ya.
I divorced thee. Goodbye.
Yeah, right. And like you divorce the kid too. Like, are you even a part of the, do you even see them? I don't know, but it doesn't sound like they're paying to help raise their kids.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, which is, it's a little infuriating. So, anyways.
What if they're asleep for 1,000 years? Is that okay?
Well, then.
After 1,000 years, I mean.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They got it all figured out.
Then you can just be a ghost and fly around wherever you want.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Wear mauve or lavender. Yeah. Be the cool dad, you know?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Real cool. Dad, you don't have to drop me off at school. It's okay.
Itadakimasu with Usagi. What did Usagi eat in this episode? Nothing. No food.
Yeah, no so, time to eat.
No. Villain Gage, re-rate a baddie, 1 to 5 dark stars, 5 being the most wicked. I mean...
There's no real villain. I mean, is there?
There isn't really. Yeah. And
unless it's King Endymion.
Oh God. I mean, maybe it could be. I was thinking.
Why did you torture us?
I know. I was thinking we could talk about Prince Damando, but I think we've covered that. You know. I think
yeah.
Unless plus, there's anything else you want to say.
He'll get his. Mm-hmm. He better get his. But he'll get his chance to be discussed fully.
Yes, of course. He yeah. Will,
I mean, definitely. We could talk about like. The negative, but the negative dark energies of like, what's going on with Planet Nemesis? We see in the episode, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it's like, you know, just a subjective psychological type thing, but like a giant cloud, like a hand grasps the planet. Like, what's the deal? Why is this planet so evil?
Uh-huh. Well, I'd be interested to hear what you had to say because I have.
I'm going to talk about it.
Well... I feel like I know something.
Oh, okay.
So I don't really want to.
I always love knowing that answers are coming.
But I won't say anything. Like, what do you think it could be?
I don't know. I mean, we have established, I think, that, and this has been a point of contention for me in the past, that like, we go to all this work to establish that like, the Silver Millennium is a magical kingdom on the moon that's been around for millions of years or whatever. But apparently whatever power it has or influence is just, you know, how does it, like, did the dinosaurs, was there a dinosaur sailor moon? Like, is this a power that has existed? Is it native to Earth and the moon and their connection?
Right.
Doesn't matter. That season's over. Here's an alien tree.
Yeah, right.
So where does the alien tree power come from? What's that? Is it just some... We live in a world that, you know, we've talked about like this, you know, the series previously. It's kind of lost this now, but focused a lot on the quotidian day-to-day lives of regular people in Japan.
Yes.
But also this is kind of a world like the Marvel Universe where there are gods and magic and aliens and all these things. We just, they're not running into it every day on the street of Tokyo.
Yes.
But now we've got like alien tree power and we've got moon power and Metallia and evil crystal power, you know, from ancient times.
Yes.
So like at this point, I don't know. It could be anything. Like I don't know what it is.
I mean, it's kind of weird and creepy that there's like a hand kind of outstretched.
Yeah, and it seems significant that they, you know, are the Black Moon. So, you know, are we going to get another info dump where we find out like 87 million years ago, Queen Serenity got in a fight with her sister or something like that. And so her sister like said, I'm out of here. And she, you know, formed her own moon. I got my own moon. I'm going to live over here. And over years, her hatred got more, you know, expansive and she, you know, turned it. Is it going to be something like that? I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, whatever I hear, I know whatever the answer is. It'll never matter after this. They'll wrap it up in 6 episodes, and then we'll be on to, you know, something else.
Yep.
Whatever the next problem is.
Yeah, there's always something else. Yeah. I know.
I do want to see a dinosaur Sailor Moon.
We can make that happen. What kind of what kind of dinosaur would she be?
A clumsy one? Whatever that would be.
Yeah, what is a clumsy one?
Remember Dino Saucers?
What? No.
Dino Saucers was a cartoon, and I think it was a toy line, but man, they did not get those toys out because I never had any. But it was about, like, aliens. I'm assuming if I get the story right here. But I think, like, aliens abducted dinosaurs back in dinosaur times, right?
Sure.
And then, like, took them to their planet.
Yeah.
And so they grew up there. So there's, like, a planet of evolved dinosaurs. Dinosaurs that have evolved into humanoid form. So they're basically, like, you know, they're just like people, but they're just dinosaur people.
Okay.
And then there's good,
like,
guys.
Like dinosaurs? Like the...
Yeah, like the ABC sitcom Dinosaurs. Yeah. Yes, just
okay.
like that.
Okay.
And so, and there's good ones and there's bad ones. And then the good ones have the ability to, they call it devolving or something like that, but they have the ability, they have like an energy that they can absorb that lets them revert to their ancient forms to fight, you know? So it's like, we got to get out of here. So
that's kind of cool.
The Allosaur, you know, will become like, turn into like a giant dinosaur and fight.
That's cool.
So the bad guys are always trying to learn the secret of that technology because they want that too.
Okay, when you first said
they're called Dino Saucers.
When you first said the name, I was just picturing like McDonald's Happy Meal toys, like. Like
they would have been great Happy Meal toys.
Like a little T-Rex in like an alien UFO saucer.
Yeah.
Like just like this head sticking out.
That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a little wind-up toy or something.
Sure. Yeah, I would... I'd pay good money for a dinosaur Sailor Moon thing.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. I'm also just, I don't know, picturing...
They could all be different ones.
Yeah, a Brontosaurus with like the...
Apatosaurus. There is no Brontosaurus.
Oh.
Unless you're...
The big one with the long neck.
Apatosaurus.
Oh, sorry. Apatosaurus with the Sailor Moon buns, Odongo.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just funny to me.
Yeah. The Triceratops.
Yeah.
Got it on there.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're onto some.
Yeah, I think so too. We'd have to pick a water one for Mercury.
You stopped at Rabbit, but you should have kept going.
Yeah, exactly.
All the way to the Jurassic period.
Yes. For Sabu or Dubu, where we talk about the most interesting differences between the sub and the dub. And the dub, where Demando puts his hand on Usagi's shoulder, that part is cut.
Huh.
In the Deke dub, Sailor Mars saying, "What year, month, and day did that happen?" was cut. Which I think is unfortunate because I think it's a hilarious line.
Huh.
But I guess we can't have kids asking questions about what's happening.
I guess it doesn't have to I mean, I don't know. That's sort of like, that's in the eye of the beholder, right?
I suppose it is. Because like it's something that could go right over a kid's head.
No. That's not what I mean. I mean, like, that's like, you're ashamed, so you take it out. But the kid would literally, it doesn't mean anything unless you infer that it means something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it could literally just be like, if she said like, "When did they get a kid?" That's basically what she's saying.
That is basically what she's saying.
Right.
And that's apparently, that would be fine, I would think.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're like, by nailing down a specific calendar day, you know, we are suggesting through, you know, absence of suggestion that they, had sex.
Exactly.
But I mean, like, you have to walk pretty far to find that, don't you?
I think you do.
Yeah.
I think you do. Right. I would agree with that.
I agree too.
Yeah.
Cowards.
And that's all the changes I have for the dub. So.
All right. Well, violence against women is A-OK.
Apparently. It's all right. But, yeah. Not loving that.
I mean, I'm not like, I'm not fine with. I understand that like violence against women is real and therefore we need to tell stories about it in like fiction. But I'm just saying there are a certain amount of things that we want to expose children to.
Yeah.
And so I don't want the child to watch this and be like, "That's I don't like that. Mommy, what's this?"
Right.
That's maybe a little more. We call that adult situations.
They are kind of our adult situations, to say the least.
Yeah.
Not even kind of. They are.
Yes.
No, I agree with you. But that's what they decided to do. I do have some trivia for this episode.
Neat.
When King Endymion tells the Senshi about the invasion of the Black Moon Clan, Neo Queen Serenity is shown, but she is depicted with the Black Moon Clan upside down crescent moon on her forehead.
Huh.
This changes
everything.
Right? Like, I don't really have a reasonable explanation as to why that is. I think it must have been some sort of animation mistake, or like somebody was like, who are we drawing?
It better be.
Right? That's what I think.
That's. So, well, this throws everything into doubt now.
I think, you know, there is another mistake in this episode, because when King Endymion tells Essenshi how he used to tell Chibiusa stories about Sailor Moon, we see a Sailor Moon silhouette with the white hair clips that she only wore in the manga and live action, and then she started wearing in the anime as Super Sailor Moon. So she's not wearing those hair clips yet.
Okay, so I noticed that. And here's where I cut off my own nose to spite my face.
Oh, gosh.
Whereas the nose is my great theory about the end of this season and my face is you. Because if he's telling her stories about, so she will one day have those and she will look like that.
Well, that is true.
So he's merely telling her the most recent up-to-date stories about Sailor Moon. Mm. Now, whether or not it's a weird mistake to make, because have we designed series 4 or 5, whenever she gets them, like, do we know what Sailor Moon is going to look like in the future?
I don't know.
Apparently they decided back here at this point in the development that she'd look cool if she had like little hair clips or little feathers in her hair. So apparently they're going to do that later. Was that just a detail that some artist came up with? And then they're like, nice job, Akira. We're going to give you a little money. No, because it was in the manga.
It was in the manga.
Right, but why did they? But they've already, like, they have a design document. They've decided what the character is going to look like throughout the series.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, they just went, like, throw those on there.
Yeah, maybe they thought it would look cool.
But then later on, they're like, well, let's keep doing that all the time. Let's just have her look like she does in the manga for the rest of this thing.
Right.
Now, here's where it destroys my theory.
Okay.
Because my theory is that, I guess I don't know exactly what, who knows? Maybe the rest of the years and episodes of the anime can still happen, and then this worldwide cataclysm happens that freezes the Earth or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
But in my opinion, this is an alternate future that they are going to try to get rid of. So, I don't know. I mean, like, she can still change her costume in an alternate future when
right.
she's having other adventures that aren't the adventures of, what we'll see in the upcoming series, but
right,
yeah, it does seem like, I don't know, the first one seems like a mistake, this one does seem like a choice to me.
Okay, I think that's fair. Maybe they just thought that it looked cool. I mean, it does.
Yeah.
So Usagi's dress from Prince Demando is inspired by the dress artist Alphonse Mucha depicted in a famous advertisement for F. Champonaise, which was a printing business.
Okay.
So I will post a comparison image on our Instagram of Mucha's art and Usagi's dress.
Yeah, so. It's, you know, we've got the specific or explicit, I should say, references to the high fashion,
yes,
you know, that we've seen before.
Yes,
we know that that's like a thing. I guess if you told, like, if somebody just did, like, you know, here's my poster, it's an Art Nouveau pentic with, you know, the sailors, I'd be like, oh, that totally fits. But I don't necessarily see a ton of Art Nouveau influence in the series, though. Do I?
I don't think so. I think that Naoko Takeuchi just likes Art Nouveau.
Didn't we see something that was like a Klimt thing once? Didn't we see
maybe
something?
Maybe. That could be. I'm not remembering what it is. I've seen some of her other drawings that she's done of the
Because if she really wants to do Art Nouveau and she's not making more use of Luna, because every single picture that Lautrec ever did had a cat in it.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like, we could really, fair. We could work this if we want to. I don't think they're working it that hard.
No. I've definitely, this is probably not Art Nouveau. What is that picture that's just like of the black cat that was from?
Yeah, that was a Lautrec.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've definitely seen some fan make that Luna before.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So, but it's a fan. It's not Takeuchi.
No, but we're all, yeah. We're on the same page.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Yes. So now we are up to our rating. I like that we get backstory, but it's almost a little too much backstory because I feel like it's like half the episode is backstory and like half of it stuff kind of happens.
Yeah.
I like that we finally find out that Chibiusa is Usagi and Mamo-chan's daughter from the future, even though you predicted that. I love Endymion's fashion sense. I've already said I'm not a fan of his sending the nightmares or Demando being a creep. Mamo saving Usagi is like epic, but I do agree with what you said. It would have been better if she would have been able to save herself or at least have been able to fight him off.
Well, it's something so specific. This isn't like a banana machete wielding villain who's going to get her and then a rose comes down. Like,
yeah.
This is like specific. And this show is not trying to take on male violence against women. It's not
what it's doing.
But we have an instance of this, and it would have been nice for her to have, like, you know, gotten out of this on her own.
Shown a little more agency.
Yeah.
Been able to.
Since she's, you know, the defender
heroine
of Crystal Tokyo.
Like, yeah,
she,
right.
I know she is not the future
Neo
Usagi,
Queen Serenity.
But,
yeah,
you know, we got to see flashes of that.
Yes. So some really high highs and some kind of low lows. So I'm going to give it a 3
that
out of 5
it
roses.
A 3, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Same reasons. And as far as like me, I didn't predict anything. I mean, it was all there in the text. What I get frustrated with is when it is all there and they don't find some way to kind of twist it or give us a different or new angle on it. When they just, because we have all figured this out. Like, this is all that it could be this whole time. And they have made hints towards it. So when the guy comes out and goes, she's this and you're that and that's you and that's you. It's like, all right, but like what's... And then what? Like, what's the twist on it? Like, mm-hmm. All it is just, it's everything you thought. It's a future where you were together and you rule here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to write it for them. I don't know what it is. Like, what's the extra twist? No, look, there are 6 episodes to go. Like, you know, things are going to get twisty and weird,
yeah.
I'm sure. But
I think that they will.
But it's like they take so much of this episode to just go, yeah, that's what you thought. Yep. Sure is.
I think the twist
Here's
is supposed
else.
To... Yeah.
There's also this. But you knew that.
Right, like, right, 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 right.
It's just like, all
right. The twist
on.
Are things you already knew.
Yeah.
Like, I think the twist is supposed to be Chibiusa is your daughter. And we're like,
yeah.
Yeah. We knew.
She has the same name.
I know. Her name is Usagi.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, we know that.
Chibiusa is your mother. Boom. Twist.
Whoa. What?
How does that even work?
Yeah. My English title for this episode is Usagi and Mamo's Surprise. Unprepared parenthood.
When did this? What day did this happen?
I know exactly.
man, I tried really hard. I tried really hard to come up with something.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah.
But I, you know, maybe not having a clever pun can help punctuate the emotions that I usually put into my titles. And so I think for this time, my title is Prince Demando Has a Little Deke.
Oh, no!
That's my Deke title.
Next episode, we are talking about episode number 84. Wise Man no Mashu, Chibiusa Shometsu in Japanese. Wiseman's Evil Hand, Chibiusa Disappears, the English translation. And the English title, Jealousy's Just Reward.
Whoa!
Yeah.
This, okay.
Yeah.
Chicken's coming home.
Yeah, what do you think?
To roost.
Yeah.
Actually, the chickens, it's obviously if they roost, you know, we've got a new situation here. But what if the chickens were like college students? They just came home. Chickens come home to raid their refrigerator and do their laundry.
Oh, no!
And they're just going to take off. I don't know, they're even saying thank you.
No.
Yeah.
We're going to eat everything in the fridge.
These are some, these chickens are ungrateful.
Yeah.
Why did I give up my career and spend the first 2 years of their lives never not being apart from them and putting them in a bed with a blanket shaped in the congee of a river? That doesn't all fit on the cover of a book, but you get the idea.
No, it doesn't.
That's my Japanese parenting guide.
Oh, I like it. Yes.
Well, here's the spiel. We do it every time. We're going to do it again. Join us on social media.
Yes.
We'd love to see you there. We're always posting A lot of stuff on Instagram going with our episodes and also just fun stuff too. So check that out. Get to us on Twitter, noob_sailor, Facebook, all the places. You know, if you're not subscribed to the show, I don't care how you listen to it, but what platform you're on, you know, subscribe to it because they see that. And we see it too. It comes through our little number machines and we know who's out there. So we like that. You know, Patreon, we got patreon.com/sailornoob. And we are talking about Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon. And we're not going to do that forever. Eventually, we're going to switch back to watching anime series with our animatification show. Mm-hmm. So if you want to catch some more Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, jump on board quick so you can hear some of that. And of course, we'll come back to it in the future.
Yes,
but
we will.
I miss watching those anime.
Yeah, me too.
Get back to doing that a little bit.
Yeah, that's fun.
Roll the dice a little.
I mean, it is kind of a roll of the dice, isn't it?
It literally is.
It literally is,
well,
yes.
It's
but
random.org.
You can't get more
the
random.
The true computer dice. Yeah.
But I mean, like sometimes you roll a one and it's not a very good
anime. Oh, you're bringing like your role playing.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a, you know, a critical hit.
I saw a cartoon. Well, I saw two cartoons. I saw a cartoon that was like a nerd comes up to some girls in the club and it's like, I don't know what the framing is, but it was weird. And he's like, come on and dance with me. And they're like, I don't think so. And he's like, he rolls a dice. He's like, I rolled a natural 20. And the girls are like, and then they're all dancing. And it's like, okay, that's all right. But then I saw another one that was like edited and it was like, oh, I'm a natural 20. And the girls are like, actually on a skill check, there is no natural 20. You know, the skill difficulty could still be above the number 20. So if your skill is too low, that means that we won't dance with you. Sorry.
Ooh.
It was like, yeah, that's a rules lawyer. Right
I
there.
Like that because it sounded like maybe the character had low charisma. So,
oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No natural 20 gets you out of that.
No.
So anyway, less role-playing talk, more anime talk on our Patreon at patreon.com/sailornoob.
That's right. Well, that's our show for this week. And the name of the moon will be punishing you next week with another episode of Sailor Noob.
Little D.